It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. First hour, pretty much all NFL draft, which we will sprinkle in over the remaining 2 hours of the show. But to begin here, it's a great card tonight, NBA and the NHL, which is where we're going to begin. Jonathan Davis covers the sport really good on hockey for SiriusXM, joined us on the Progressive guest line. Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I don't know how you do it. I swear to God. It's, you know, a nice 5 a.m. out here, and you guys make this a routine. God bless you.
Right here? I told them today, the excellent baristas here upstairs, I'm going to need a couple extra shots of espresso and that bad boy this morning to keep me going. Okay, so I want to make the case and bet the Winnipeg Jets tonight at the current price against the Avalanche. I think this series can go seven games, potentially. I think just because of that number, they're going to be live in this series against Colorado, because I think they're going to be able to score some goals. Do you want to talk me off the ledge here, or what's your best approach? What's your best advice for betting this game?
Well, I think the rationale that you just proposed makes sense, because I do think that, you know, take in this series, I think we're going to get to at least six games. So I think the Jets do get at least one in Colorado. So getting plus money with Winnipeg does make sense. But, you know, you're hoping, and I think the one thing we can expect the way this season has gone, regular season and playoffs, is goals, goals, goals. So we've had at least seven goals in every game between these two teams. I love the over 6.5.
How about all the talk about Georgiev and the issues he had head-to-head? Now, and you have great numbers to back this up, I don't think you can trust Hellebuck. How bad he looked in game two, well, game one as well, and then how bad he looked in game two, and then what's happened his last six playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, Pauly, the numbers are bad. Just one win in his last six playoff games, the goals against average, well over four. And it was, Gorgiev, the turnaround that he had in game two, you know, hats off to him for that performance.
Sure.
Because it could have gone south really quickly. Winnipeg jumped out 1-0. So, yeah, look, there is definitely concern on the Winnipeg side. And the other thing is that this track meet that they're playing right now does, you would think it's going to fall really into Winnipeg's hands, or I mean Colorado's hands, because they're the team that's got the better offense. But, yeah, I am concerned about Hellebuck. Look, the Colorado's back home tonight. The other play that I love, look, Nathan MacKinnon had a point in every home game this year except one, and 11 of his last 14 at home, he had at least two. So I'm also looking at Nathan MacKinnon over 1.5 at about minus 130.
Okay, how about McDavid props, and who had 5 assists in game one? Could it be the same type of series? Colorado, Winnipeg, high scoring, Edmonton and LA high scoring, another total of 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, It could, because, you know, again, I don't trust the goalies, although I, you know, Cam Talbot stole that game, I thought, for the LA Kings in game two. But regardless, you know, LA did a really good job of containing Connor McDavid. But I'm still getting Connor McDavid tonight at minus 130 for at least 2 points. And I think that, you know, look, I really like that play. I don't think they're going to be able to shut him down again. And when, as Connor goes, Leon goes. And if LA has had trouble staying out of the box, does that again tonight. I mean, look, Edmonton still found a way to score 4 goals. Leon had 2 points really quickly. You can get Leon again tonight at plus 164 to 170 at over a point and a half. So for me, again, like the Edmonton, like I still think Edmonton comes away and wins this series, but I'm just going to go for the value here. I love the Draisaitl prop at over at plus 164.
Okay, very good. Now, I had this play yesterday in pocket when I bet the over 6.5. It was plus money at the time, plus 104 in that neighborhood. Got a good response on X as soon as I talked about it. The person said, be careful, horrible ice in LA. What is your response to that?
It's well known. I mean, players around the league will tell you the same, will tell you that. Kevin Bieksa from Hockey Night in Canada referenced it on the game two nights ago that, yeah, when they get to LA, it is bad ice. But hey, you know what? Bad ice can also lead to some ugly goals. Pucks bounce funny ways. And so I'm looking also at Adrian Kempe, who has torched the Edmonton Oilers in the last seven games. Kempe's got 7 goals, guys. He's a plus 160 for an anytime goal. And he shoots. So you can get him at over 3.5 shots on goal tonight at plus 129.
All right, excellent. All right. Going deep into the card here. I love it. Creativity. How about another shot on goal prop that you like in a game, and how often do you play these?
Well, yeah, you know, look, John Carlson in Washington, you know, defenseman plays the power play, high volume of shot totals. You know, he had 4 shots on goal in game one. He had 5 shots on goal in game two. He's hit this number, I think, in 4 of his last 5 games overall. I'm going to go again with the plus money at plus 181. I mean, like I said, yeah, he's hit this number in 5 straight games. So why go away from it? John Carlson, over 3.5 shots on goal at plus 181.
Okay. So the Rangers also are $1.70 tonight, and they're looking around and they see, hey, 3-0 Carolina, 3-0 Florida. We better, you know, also get the broom out as well. Do you want to lay the $1.70? Do you want to bet to win in regulation? How do you see the Rangers game now here, and also what's going on with the other series in the Eastern Conference?
I'll play the Rangers. Look, I'm going to be chicken here. I think the Rangers win the game. I'll pay the extra juice to have at minus 170. You know, look, yes, the series shifts back to Washington. The Caps did really well against the Rangers during the regular season at home. But I'll just play it the safe way and take the Rangers in regulation. It bit me. Look, game two, I played the puck line. I played the Rangers on the puck line.
Yeah.
Couldn't get over on that one. So I'm just going to go the safe way. Yeah. Look, I think we are seeing the far better team with the Rangers here. Their talent is coming through in these first two games. Washington just doesn't have enough. And they better hope that Alexander Ovechkin can wake up, because he's got 1 shot on goal in 2 games. They've done a great job on him. He looks extremely frustrated, but I love the Rangers tonight.
Yep. Took a bad beat there too. The Rangers should have had the empty net goal. The guy blew it. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. Jonathan Davis, our guest. We're talking hockey playoffs. Does a great job, SiriusXM. Follow him on X as well. What do you think now tonight, game 3 and the Vancouver Nashville series with what happened to Demko?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Thatcher Demko is traveling with the team. He is in Nashville with them. I don't, you know, look, Rick Tocchet has said week to week. What's interesting to me, guys, is that we're seeing the money move towards Vancouver in this one.
Notice that. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I think Vancouver deserved a better fate in game 2. They gave up that bad goal 70 seconds in. Demko has beat the Nashville Predators in Nashville this season. I didn't think they played a bad game in game 2. It's just, you know, Nashville just played not to lose. I mean, they were a shot-blocking machine that night, 30 block shots. I'll take my chances with Vancouver. I am going to follow the money in this one. I haven't made a play on it yet, but if I did, I would play Vancouver.
Okay. What are you hearing on Nylander?
Well, Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada reports that he is dealing with migraines, and it's an issue that he's had in the past, and that's why we're not seeing him on the ice. So, you know, look, it's an awful thing to have to deal with. I've never had to go through migraines. I know people who have. So that's, you know, it's not like you're dealing with a broken bone where you can put a timeline on it. So we'll see if he goes game four. Look, I still think, you know, I think we see Jeremy Swayman in game four. I know that they've been committed to going back and forth. And I don't think, you know, they didn't lose game two because Linus Ullmark didn't play well. But I don't know how you go away from Swayman. And
you can't.
I don't know if you guys caught it, but it sure looked that after Brad Marchand scored the 4-2 goal, he's skating to the bench and saying it's over in five.
No, did he really?
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you have the Keefe comments afterwards taking a shot at Marchand. And then Montgomery also said he thinks Swayman's in their heads. So you're right. There's no reason to get away from him, how great he's played in the two wins. And I'm with you on that. Did you think Waugh made a mistake last night? Varlamov has been hot. He's not the reason you lost the first two games. And then Sorokin gave up two softies and you lose 3-2.
Yeah, you know, I was a little surprised, but they're another team that have gone with two goalies throughout the year. And I guess he was just trying to find a shift. You know, Patrick Watt talked about the fact that he thought the series should have been 1-1, but he thought they should have won the first game, that they didn't deserve to win the second one. So, you know, you're trying for something different back on home ice. Back to Sheldon Keefe for a second.
Yep.
You know, the other thing with Sheldon Keefe is that he's trying to bait the officials. He's looking for some more calls in game number four because he really felt he got jobbed in game number three.
Do you think the Stars come back and make this a series against the Golden Knights, or is this bad boy over with?
I think it's over with. And Pete DeBoer, after game number two, just, you know, watching his press conference and talking about how, you know, hey, Dallas has been able to solve teams. That's how Vegas has solved teams throughout. They've solved this before. And he just looked dejected. He looked like a lost soul after game number two. Yeah, I think we're done. This Vegas team, God, guys, you know, now that they're healthy,
what do you want to say about them, Jonathan? Else.
So
no, go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I'm just saying, I just think that they're as good as anybody else. They look like a football team out there, guys. Watch that team up front. They're huge.
Yes, they are. And I'm not going to be surprised for one second if they come out of the Western Conference again this year.
The winner of this series, to me, goes to the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
I buy into that. Yeah.
They're 5-0 against them, too.
Excellent job. By the way, I'm shopping around for these props. You like the Carlson over 3.5 at a nice plus price. I'm seeing 2.5 at a flat minus 110.
Sure. Playing both.
Okay. Will do. That was awesome, Jonathan. Thanks for the time today. Good luck tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Enjoy the game tonight. Bad ice. All right. Good stuff in LA. He'll be at the game tonight, game three. I like that. Shot on goal props, anytime goal, points over.
Oh, he's coming at you with a little bit of everything.
Good mix of stuff. I'll be interested to see what the Rangers do tonight because you have to look around and see what Carolina's doing in Florida and say we got to get the broom out on these guys.
Mortal Kombat tonight. Finish him.
Yep, no doubt. Bury him.
All right, so we'll get into tonight's playoff card a little bit more. This number feels like it's getting a tad out of control. Details next.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It is a very strong playoff card tonight, NBA and the NHL. We have a 5:30 Eastern NBA game, 2:30 out here on the West Coast. How about that? I love it, though. Triple header. They're going to go in the NBA. Now, let me ask you this, though. I get it. Indy blew out the Bucks in game two. They go back home now to get game three, series tied at one apiece. This number was 4.5 a day ago when we're on the air. That to me was like, kind of high. Nope, but I can't. I'm not going to. Now they're touching six?
This is outrageous to me. Six, to be getting 6 points. Milwaukee had them down 27 at halftime in game one, which you could say nerves and lack of playoff experience, whatever. But, I mean, they were killing them in game one. So they still have a very good team and a lot of talent. You got Lopez. You got Lillard who can go off and 35 in the first half and Portis. And, you know, Middleton's the big thing, though. I mean, if Middleton doesn't play, though, number one, I don't know what I'm going to get out of him from night in, night out. But if you don't have Middleton, that's big. And then if you follow the money, it looks like he might not play. But I still think it's way too many points. But I love that Indiana team that showed up in game two. Remember, this is the second best offense in NBA history. They had a ton of success against Milwaukee head-to-head in the regular season. But if they're knocking down those threes and then how they play, and if you get a good Halliburton, you know, the Halliburton that played at the start of the year and how dangerous they were offensively, then you got to be scared and worried because we know how bad Milwaukee was defensively and the big numbers, what I said earlier in the week, not getting enough attention. Second best offense under Griffin, 18 under Doc. So, but this is, you know, I'm also intrigued by the total. Because it was, I think from a total standpoint, game one was the fluke. Indiana's just going to get up and go and have a crazy pace. They just couldn't make anything to start. And you saw it was more of Pacer basketball and how things turned out in the second half. But the whole key to this game in the series is Siakam. Now, I don't know if I said this on air or off air. Players in NBA history to start the playoffs first two games with 35 and 10. Elgin Baylor, Wilt and Siakam. 37 and 11, 36 and 13, 16 of 23, and 15 of 25 shooting.
Sure.
The versatility and no answer. Milwaukee has no idea what to do with this guy, which also they kind of slowed down with some of the numbers and the pace once they acquired him in the trade. But what this guy can do and what he brings to the table, he is just dominating Milwaukee.
His points prop tonight is 26.5 or 27.5. So far, as you said, 36 and 37 in the first two games. Not only, Paulie, if you've watched the games, have the Bucks had absolutely zero solution to slow him down. Your faith has to be in the hands of Doc Rivers to come up with an answer.
I know, and I really love Carlisle. I'm a big fan of Carlisle.
Again, this series has a clear coaching mismatch to it.
Yep, and he did a great job in game two.
So the total to me also says too low. However, if Middleton doesn't play, how much firepower do the Bucks have in this game?
Yeah.
And I get it. Pacers are going to, if they play like they did in game two, Pace will be on their side for sure. And I know with Doc, things changed a little bit defensively and the scores went way down. But with Middleton not, if he can't play in the game tonight, then I don't, how many Bucks, maybe just maybe Bucks team total under?
Yeah, well, it also helps me out too. Then it's they're keying exclusively on Dame. And then I know what's going to happen offensively.
Right, his prop is 31.5, by the way.
And Indiana was atrocious defensively. But this is Halliburton called him out while doing so, took shots at the Milwaukee crowd. This place is going to be on fire tonight.
Oh, no doubt.
And I love the 2:30 start Pacific time.
Oh, let me remind you, by the way, on that note, if you go back in your head and recall what Indiana was like for their home court during the play-in tournament.
That's a good
remember
point.
Remember that?
Yeah, it
that
was on
place
fire.
That place looked like a mid-major college atmosphere. The entire barn was on fire for those games. And so I think that that's going to be a big, you're right, they don't like this team. The feeling is mutual here. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. They're number two in pace, and they were 21 in defense, but it's a big opportunity for them because you also have to win these games knowing that at some point Freak could come back, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to be like Boston where you screw around and next thing you know, oh, my God, can you believe it? Jimmy Butler says he's going to play game six or game seven, mm-hmm. right? Or Rozier could come back here considering that you're 5-2 against them head-to-head, but in one of the losses, Freak put up 64 on you. You got to go up 3-1 here, knowing that if this could go, because you never know with the timetable, all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, Freak's going to play in game six or Freak's going to be back game seven. Get it done. Win these home games and knowing that you could make a deep run because the Knicks are a great story, but they're certainly beatable. And who knows what's going to happen with Embiid. Certainly there's a path where you could see a Boston-Indiana conference final. That wouldn't be crazy.
Middle game. Clippers, Mavericks in Dallas. Game one had a total of 221. Final score was 109-97, stayed way under. There was a big adjustment in game two. The total was 216.5. 96-93 final. Tonight's total, 210.5, 211 in that range. So we have a 10-point adjustment here on the total.
Great series.
I don't know if I can go over 211, though.
No opinion. Tough one, though. Kawhi Leonard, illicit is questionable.
Uh-huh,
so
yeah.
Here we go. But
water is wet, sky is blue.
Yep. But the others were great in game two. And I know that they weren't ready to go in game one, and they got embarrassed. You know, the Gafford and Washington was good in game two, but no one showed up other than the big two from Dallas in game one. And then Westbrook was so good in game one, gave you nothing in game two, and then I don't know what I'm going to get out of Harden. But still, even if it's a compromised Kawhi, you have so much depth and talent on this Clipper team. But it's a great series and a tough call. But again, it just shows you how great this conference was. I mean, the Lakers won 47 games, and they're the seventh seed, and they're going home and probably getting swept. So no opinion on this game. Just going to be, as a basketball fan, going to enjoy the entire series. And someone's going to have a difficult offseason because you're going to be one and done.
Well, okay, so on that note, you brought up the Lakers. To tie in the Suns game tonight at home against the Wolves, there are going to be a minimum of three teams in the Western Conference who are going to, I think, if they stay put, they don't have a chance.
Yeah.
There has to be at least some, so I would call it like a major overhaul needs to happen. If the Suns get bounced early, Lakers are going to go down to the Nuggets.
Lakers need to make a coaching change.
That, and what do the Suns do if they get taken out in five games?
I know. Can you imagine? But what can they do?
Right?
I mean, they're almost like they're forced to run it back. But we knew this going in. So you had no depth. Now you have the Allen injury. You're the worst fourth quarter team in the league.
Yep.
No true point guard. And you have the worst bench in the league. I'm going to have to do it, though, with the season on the line angle. And considering that they were so good against Minnesota in the regular season, I'm going to have to do it and go with the money line. But it's tough. And I mean, you have to be loving life if you're Minnesota. Ant doesn't play well and makes three shots in game two. Towns hasn't given you much, and you're up 2-0. But again, the supporting cast has been great and the depth of Minnesota. And you're seeing the number one defense here. And they've been awesome. And I just don't know what I'm going to get out of the Suns, though. I mean, Booker has been non-existent so far. You can't count on Beal. The Allen injury is enormous, but also the fact, due in part to foul trouble. Oh, big surprise. Cats in foul trouble. But
let me point this out, by the way. He trucked Kevin Durant the other night.
And
Durant went flying. No, Durant had the ball.
Okay.
Towns bullied him over, steamrolled him, right?
Okay.
And immediately, he runs like 15 feet to the sidelines crying like a little baby. I'm like, dude, if that's not the most obvious foul you're ever going to commit, please stop crying every single time you're called for a foul. It drives me up a wall.
Yeah, Yeah, it's not the officials. It's you and how you play. But it was also worked out to their benefit that he got in foul trouble because, as we talked about previewing the series, in the regular season when Phoenix swept them, they played the two bigs off the floor. But when you're only giving Towns, you know, that not that many minutes, it helped them out. And in game one, they destroyed him in the paint and killed him on the glass. And then what McDaniels gave him in game two, and also what Alexander Walker has done as well. And it's great to have a veteran guy like Conley, who also stunk in game one.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many guys where the big-time stars haven't showed up, and it's 2-0 Minnesota.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the Suns here to save their season. But, you know, I don't like it. I don't love it. But there's a good chance that the Suns went all in and could get swept.
The 0-2 angle, team down. Yeah. Going back home.
Like 65% going back.
Dropped their first two games. We saw it last night, right? The first quarter, first half angle. Sixers lost both. They came back and they won. They covered the game.
But we're great in the second half, I know.
I bet Lakers for the game. Dummy me. Had I bet first quarter, first half, those were two winners. For the full game, no good. I kind of want to go
Orlando
back.
Was great, though, too.
Yeah. That's another one, too. So three games. Sorry. Pardon me. That game was unwatchable. So whatever. I kind of want to do it with the Suns tonight. 2.5 for the first half.
I'm going to have to do it. Yep. I have to do it. But, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just number one defense. You have no depth. And it speaks to your lack of a true point guard that you're the – how about that? With those three players, you were the worst fourth quarter team. And
it was all year long.
Nothing, yeah.
No, but here's the thing.
They blew so many games as a result of it.
I can't get that game out of my head, though, the final Sunday of the regular season.
Oh, you got to throw it out.
But they showed their capability, though.
Yeah.
They showed the kind of power rating that they can play to when they're desperate. Because they want to avoid the play-in, right? Remember? And they did.
They've shut them completely. I mean, nothing out of Booker so far either.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Make it a part of your day. Visit VSiN.com. Matt Youmans, 18-3 with his draft bets and picks. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles. Getting late in the Premier League. Nigel Seeley, whatever you want up there. Betting tools, betting guides, have you covered. Check it out. VSiN.com today. Good job, Matt.
Yeah, if you missed Youmans an hour ago, you can always go back, search Follow the Money, wherever you get your podcast. He was 18-3 with his draft props. Several of those were available on the website, vsin.com. He chimed in 20 minutes. Dude never sleeps.
No.
Chimed in 20 minutes ago, not even. And he said, at DraftKings right now, the first running back to get selected tonight, Jonathan Brooks -120. He likes it. I responded that I bet Trey Benson +250. He thinks it's going to go down between those two guys, but he thinks Brooks is a pretty good bet right now, -120, first running back selected. I have to trust him. Now I got to see if I can maybe get out of this Benson bet a little bit. Guy's been on fire.
Going to be juicy today. Ayuk and Samuel are available. And he can probably get T. Higgins, too.
I think one of them will go. I think one of the Niners will go.
Oh, sure. I thought Ayuk was going yesterday. I thought he was going to be a Patriot. The stuff on social media.
So we've kind of...
Could be today.
You know, looking at the AFC, I'm all in on the Texans this year. Bet them to win the AFC. First day of free agency. And we kind of scoffed at the Bills, like they came back to the pack. If the Bills would make a move for Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, how do you not kind of fall in love with that move? Me personally, I mean, he's maybe my favorite player in the entire NFL. One of them, certainly. He's an absolute threat. One of the best weapons in the game.
Injuries, though.
No, I get it. I know.
No, I'm with you. But that's, well, if you're Buffalo, who would you rather have?
You mean between
injuries,
those two?
Yeah, well, injuries are part of it. But it's the versatility, and also I can, you know, I give him the ball. He can give him carries.
What does
how danger is with the yak? I mean,
see, here's the thing: Ayuk gets lost because the Niners' offense is so sexy, and it's scattered with guys who are just elite across the board. What does Ayuk look like when he becomes like either the clear cut number one guy, or he's one and there's a 1A? You know what I'm saying? Where he's going to get 145 targets?
Yeah,
guy's an animal.
Good point.
And they've done such a great job drafting over the years.
And the deep ball and the success he can have with Allen. You got to go get him. I don't care about the draft. I don't care who's out there or the hype. And if you can get Ayuk, Debo, or Higgins. I mean, certainly. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Ayuk's a Patriot by the end of the day.
We'll ask Michael Lombardi that. He's coming up in about an hour. If the Bills were to offer the first pick tonight in the second round to the Niners for either one of those guys, the Niners tried to get, they were shopping one or both yesterday, tried to get up high in the first round, and the feedback was like, you're not going to get a high first round pick. You're going to get maybe back end of the teens at best. So they would they settle for a second round pick? They drafted a receiver last night.
What do you think of that selection?
That tells me that one of them are going to go. Pearsall's a stud.
Yeah.
Phenomenal hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 190 pounds, but I space this. Xavier Worthy's checking in at $160.
Well, how about Brian Kelly said Daniels was 170 when he showed up to LSU?
That's true. I remember that.
What the hell? That's what I weigh.
And he's 6'4".
I mean, Kit Kats and Coke. I mean, what? How can that be? Doesn't make any sense.
Cheesecake for breakfast and Taco sure. Bell all weekend long.
You got it, buddy. Sign me up. That's, I don't know, some of this stuff is bizarre with the weight and everything. Did you see any of the Belichick?
No, because I was, I went back and forth between NFL Network. First of all, I watched the pregame stuff on whatever it was. It was the one with Reese Davis and McAfee and Saban.
Saban was on, yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Saban is going to be truly an excellent addition.
We need a Saban-Belichick TV show.
No doubt.
Podcast, whatever, and it's just a home run.
So I missed out on the Belichick stuff.
Belichick is so gregarious, and so he gets on, and it's completely because it was an act. But also, I'm not going to give you any information, reporters, and it was an act. But with McAfee and telling the Randy Moss story, and just to watch Belichick break down film, and then Belichick breaking down his board, it was interesting. He took shots at Drake May, but I could listen to Belichick talk football all day. But then telling the Randy Moss story about making the trade draft day with the Raiders and telling him you got to be here, deal's got to be done by noon and take the physical and you got to rework your deal. And Moss hangs up the phone on him. This isn't Belichick. Who's pranking me? But it's gold. And between him and Saban, just phenomenal.
I love what Saban is able to add. The Bengals took that Sims kid, the offensive lineman.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And he said right away, he's like, okay, he's got all the talent in the world. However, why are you leaving games early? I think he pointed out, like in the SEC title game, he was like, 8 snaps, get me out of the game. It's like, that's going to come into question. And he was so good giving perspective about what he expects.
Yeah.
And it,
well, it's a good point you bring that up because it was like the HBO special.
Oh, yeah.
When it was Saban and Belichick. And then Saban told Belichick, I'll give you the good and the bad.
Yes.
There's always a yeah, but with somebody. But most teams won't ask it. I will give you the yeah, but if you ask. It was a good discussion he was having with Belichick on that piece that ran on HBO, but that was good Saban. Yeah.
Here's a piece. This is maybe a little bit too much inside media, but I really loved how, because Saban could have dominated the broadcast and it would have still been great because I'm listening to every word that he's saying, but he got it. He knew when to like stop it so other people could chime in and like get it back to the anchor who would like then be the point guard and Reese Davis. I thought the chemistry right away between all of them, it was like, wow, they've really been working on this for a long time, the way it felt. And it was their first show together. So you're right. I think Saban, Belichick, if that's going to be on, that's how you're, Paul, spot on. It is an act with Belichick. That tells me again how good he was as a head coach. He never gave away anything, right? The game plan, his press conferences were always, he was a total drip and exceedingly boring. But then when the lights are on and the cameras are going, he knows when to turn it on and he's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway,
yep.
The Penix stuff again today. Still, that took me a long time to get over when it happened last night. Shocked me. And that also, I believe, had an impact on several of my other bets that I had. Because I thought they were going to go defense for sure, which would have maybe opened up the floodgates for other teams to go defense. But as a result, they go Michael Penix. This is a great tweet, by the way. This is an awesome tweet. I'll get it for you here in a second because, here you go. Diana Russini last night. Why would Atlanta use their 8th pick in the draft on a quarterback? The team believes they won't have a top pick with Cousins under center the next few years, and now is the time to go and get a great one. Brandon Molesky, who is a host on KFAN in Minneapolis, quote tweeted and said, they're so confident their current quarterback is so good that they had to go get another quarterback.
Yeah.
Then, oh, man.
Yeah, right. Here's the thing I said earlier. When did this love affair happen? When did you fall in love with Penix? And Bill Barnwell had a good tweet too, ESPN. Was it after you gave Cousins 4 years and $100 million guaranteed?
Was it buyer's remorse right away?
Or did you love Penix the whole time and you said, you know what, we still got to get Cousins? Like, was it then or was it the short time after you signed Cousins and then before the draft? This is nuts. Oh. And then to just say, well, you know, what a good problem to have. We're going to take a guy top 10. He's not going to play for 4 years. What world do you live in?
Mm-hmm.
And the other people making the Jordan Love comments are out of their minds because that also was a horrible pick because Green Bay was in win-now mode with Rodgers and they didn't get him any help. So that was another mistake, but people comparing it to Green Bay as well. It's two stupid picks.
Yeah, people lose the short-term memory problems here. Let me remind you of what happened with Green Bay. Rodgers stunk that year, even though they were 13-3. They lost in the NFC title game. They thought Aaron Rodgers was done. So they drafted for the future. That pandemic year draft, it was all about the future, not for the now. Guess what happened? Rodgers gave him the middle finger, said, you think I'm done, huh? Okay, well, here's back-to-back MVP seasons right after that draft, and they had home field twice. And some of those guys they drafted in that dumb 2020 draft, they could never use. And they could never come back out. Now, they blew it. They blew some of those games. Both of them, I would say. But that was a
and it was, yeah, his frustration, but also look what Tampa Bay did with Brady. Oh, yeah. whatever you need, right?
Sure,
and
yes.
With Rodgers, they wouldn't do that, and he didn't have any input with the personnel. But Penix is 24. It's just, you gave a guy a four-year deal.
Yeah, how about this email from JT? FTM@vsin.com. The Falcons showed everyone why they stink. Laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Didn't they also say they were not interested in Lamar Jackson? That's correct.
Yes.
Another one.
Amen. Right off the bat.
Did not want Lamar Jackson.
But
let's give Kirk Cousins $90 million guaranteed. Oh, and then go draft Michael Penix.
Well, forget about that. Also, you took Ritter, and you were selling us on Ritter.
The whole time.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
They came out immediately. We don't want Lamar Jackson. No way, no how.
Good job, guys.
Yep.
Way to go.
Excellent. And you don't want, right. You don't want Lamar Jackson or Belichick. No, we do things our way here. 7-10 every year. Commitment to 7 wins. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, right?
I like what you said earlier. 4 years in a row. Pitts, London, Bijan, and now Penix.
Yes.
Step aside, Matt Millen.
Mm-hmm. Belichick can't blow you away in an interview.
No.
But Raheem Morris can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
with
his
great resume.
He's got the game plan.
Who was awesome in Tampa. Several games under 500. The guy with 8 rings? No.
Up next, in-pocket plays, our best bets that we have for tonight on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Quarterback was on coke. If his girlfriend was not
coke. These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's children on these games.
I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
All right, winner with Carolina. It won, but it didn't go how I expected. The Islanders outshot him and played a good game. But I don't understand Patrick Waugh making the goalie change. Certainly, he didn't lose the first two games because of Varlamov, who's been great. And you got out, again, the shot attempts in game two were 110-23. But they made the goalie change. Sorokin gave up two soft ones. He then has to pull them middle of the game after the third one was so bad.
Yep.
Another wrist shot from the blue line that a guy can't save. And then he brings up Varlamov in anyways. Doesn't allow a goal the rest of the game. But the Islanders lose 3-2. So that's a winner. Loser with Tampa. Good game. Bobrovsky played well again. Florida's been dynamite so far, but Tampa couldn't get it done. And the Sixers, I split there. They were losing at halftime, but then ran out the Knicks in the second half and then behind Embiid's 50 points. Going with, can't wait for the card tonight. Ooh, big night on ice. Going with Colorado against the Jets. Little inflated with the price, but again, all the talk about Georgiev, and rightfully so, but I'm concerned about Hellebuck. Where's his head at? And how Colorado was done against him in the first two games and Hellebuck's issues that we talked about with Jonathan Davis's last six playoff games. Going to have to do it reluctantly, but Suns money line tonight to try to save their season $1.80. Again, this is almost 65% going back. Take the home team down 0-2 in game three of the NBA. Predators, this has gone against me. Who knows? Maybe Demko can come back. But I don't like what I saw out of game two. But again, the difference, it's to me night and day if Demko can't go for Nashville or for Vancouver. And I bet Nashville game three and Nashville to win the series. League two tomorrow, Doncaster, $1.05. Final game of the season for League One, League Two. Trying to get in the playoffs. They've won 10 in a row. Red hot. And I'll lay it, $1.05. There's Predator in Colorado to win the series. Hurricanes to win the East. Also, I'm coming right back with Carolina. I'm not going to lay it the $1.70, $1.80 at DraftKings or other spots. Saturday morning, Carolina to win in regulation and to sweep the Islanders. I'll take that. And I like Denver Saturday night. Denver Nuggets Saturday night. I'll lay the 2.5. It wasn't good. The body language late from the Lakers. It's like, you're not coming back. You've lost 11 in a row to the Nuggets. Your reward if you win is just, well, okay, pride. We didn't get swept. We're able to beat them. Then you go back to Denver and lose in five. It wasn't good. And again, they've lost 11 in a row to them. But six of the 11, they've led by double digits. Joker does it again. And you're getting an incredible play from Anthony Davis. But between the Davis comments about what he said about how we're not well coached and there are times we don't look like we know what we're doing out there, an indictment of Ham, which I know how Laker fans feel about him, but apparently people in the organization weren't happy with those comments. Maybe keep it to yourself. I don't know. But and anyway, they beat him 11 in a row. They're going to sweep him. I love Denver Saturday night. There you go.
I'm seeing the Canucks are actually favored in a couple spots now.
Oh, he's got to be playing then, right?
I would think.
He's got to be back. I mean, this is worse than the NBA.
I mean, is
doing
he
the kneeling? Give me some information here.
Would they be taking that much steam if he's not going to play?
No, he can't.
I can't imagine, right?
No. I mean, is Kirk McLean playing? I mean, what's is it 1994?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got all points. After he was ruled out of game two, not only that, but right behind the report was questionable to even return.
All right. Cowboys with the first pick, wide receiver 11-1. I'll tell you, here's what I also added. How about that report from Rossini yesterday? The Rams are trying to move into the top 10 to get a pass catcher. Yeah. So I bet.
Did you see the setup too, by the way? The mansion, where were they? Newport or something? The draft party?
It's amazing as always.
That house?
So I was able to get down on Rams to take a tight end 14-1 and a receiver at 8-1. No good. I didn't even try to get up. And there were, by the way, plenty of good receivers on the board for them at number 19. Was that accurate or no? So if that comes in, if the Cowboys get there with a receiver, or if Latham, that news is actually accurate, it's an amazing draft. Now I have to have a couple of things go my way to actually come out ahead tonight in round number 2. But I can say this, I can't prove it yet. And I'll try to go back and look at the press conferences and if this question was asked. Cowboys are on the board at 29 after trading down with the Lions. I think they were going to take Xavier Worthy there. That's the reason why I made the bet. I thought they were going to take him maybe at 24, but they traded down. Then the Chiefs move up with the Bills to 28, and they take Worthy. Did they pivot to offensive line after Worthy was off the board? Or maybe they were dead set on O-line the entire time. But I think that was going to be a juicy player for Jerry to look at and say, this kid played at Texas. He's a 4.240 kid, the fastest of all time. Let's take him. Who knows? Bad job by me last night in this Lakers game. Easily could have bet first quarter. He's easy now because of the results. Team going back home down 0-2, first quarter, first half. They both came in, didn't bet it. Had him for the game. And quickly, after halftime, I knew I was in trouble. They made the adjustments. The Nuggets did.
Yeah, that's not getting enough attention. That's a coaching mismatch.
Yeah, it is. And the observations that you noticed from people, it was the one thing that jumped off the TV to me last night. In the fourth quarter, the body language for the Lakers.
They want out.
They know it's over. Yep. I'm tailing Jonathan Davis on this. I did in the last game as well. Leon Draisaitl over 1.5 points. He was texting me about this in the previous game. Took it plus 165 tonight. Expecting goals here. Some high scoring, plenty of chances. Draisaitl at that number makes a lot of sense. And I did bet the game over 6.5 the other day at plus 104 as well. There you go, in pocket, please.
Don't miss out any of the NBA playoff action. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Through the finals, they have you covered. Same game parlays, live bets, odds boost, so much more. Download the app, code VSiN. New customers bet $5. You get 200 bonus bets instantly. Code VSiN. Code VSiN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. It's the big four that they have, though. With you got the best player in the league, Murray's awesome, Gordon was awesome, and Porter. It's going to be a tough matchup if it's Minnesota, but I think the only team that can push him is going to be Minnesota, actually.
Those guys are so good. OKC played him well in the regular season. I don't know how that would go in the postseason.
Very, very big response here with the backing in. That's always welcome. I understand the guys with the truck, though. And the guys, I never had a truck. I've been a Mercedes and BMW guy, but teach his own.
But you see my point, though?
The guys are saying with the truck, you have to do it. Because it's impossible to, see behind, backing out. We're talking about backing in when you park. But the guy's saying, I have a truck, and it's a bear. Especially parking lots.
Well, and people also agreeing with what I said is that when you're backing out, you don't know where people are going to be.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know if they're... next time you're in a major parking lot, watch how many people walk down the middle of the lane as slow as humanly possible and are probably on their cell phones. Honestly, it'd be better if we could run them over. Just eliminate them from the earth. But so that's always dicey. I want to be able to see in front of me. And also, I will argue that I don't have a truck either. I used to when I was younger. But how many times the only spot that's available is between two big trucks? I would argue that pulling in forward is the worst thing that you can do. That when you use your mirrors and you back in, backing in between two big trucks is that's the move right there. That's the positive EV move, backing in.
Not a fan.
I don't think you can do it. That's why I'm calling you out on this.
Here.
I think that's the real reason why.
I can't believe the parking lot thing though too. But not aside from a truck though, but with the parking lot, because you got people waiting. But I don't know. We have a friend who's a delivery guy, and he says he will not do it in a parking lot. So to each his own. But it's
now, how about this? This is a good Kelly brings this up on email, fteam@vsin.com. What if the driver gets there first and decides to drive between two cars to an open space in front? It looks like they backed in. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
You don't know about that. But when it's like this truck and obviously he's not going to run over the curb or whatever that is. What's that called?
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it is tough. I understand all the accidents when you're backing up in a parking lot because it's you're coming back and then you don't realize how much space you have. But it happened today when I was coming into work. The guy's in the garage. He's got all this room. And he comes in the whole pomp and circumstance and the big to-do. And he's back. I'm like, let's go, buddy. There's no one here. You're making me wait. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You get any spot you want.
That's another thing, too, is that you have to have your head on a swivel.
It's 3 a.m., for God's sake.
Yeah.
Head on a swivel.
Because I pay attention to that. Like for example, if I'm in a crosswalk, I run so the trucks don't have to wait for me.
Yeah, I go on a small jog.
More people should do that as well, yeah. Right? They should get it. It should be common sense. Yeah. Professional sports bettor Aaron Rennie on the program coming up next. He's excellent on the NBA. We'll find out which numbers caught his eye for tonight's card.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.